Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No, it doesn't matter. We got a game next week. We got to get ready to go. Nobody feels sorry for us. We shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves. Our goal is to play in the playoffs. We got a shot next week at all of that. So it's disappointing. We want to play better. Want to win today, but we didn't. So we got to move forward and get ready to go. Or the end of our season will be next week if we don't turn the page and play good football, way better than today.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That's Devin McCourty. Of course, after the loss yesterday, 27-24. Losing Fitzmagic, who had the beard, if you didn't notice or hear the broadcast. He has a long beard, and he's having a hell of a time out there. He just loves it. And this, they're saying, is the most embarrassing defeat in the Bill Belichick era. I've read that from several people. Are you in agreement with that?
Well, Joe, I know you feel it's the most significant or most embarrassing from a gambling standpoint. I'm trying to think. Is it their most embarrassing loss?
0-9 against the Jets in the playoffs was really bad. The loss to the Ravens when they were a wild card team as well.
Yeah. I mean, so if we're talking regular season game, I mean, I'm trying to think of a regular season game they lost with more at stake. So it's, I mean, I'll cop out and say it's up there. For a regular season, it might be their most embarrassing. I put some of those postseason ones ahead of it. But for a regular season, it probably is. The stakes are massive. They've never made a Super Bowl with Brady Belichick. They've never made a Super Bowl from wild card position. And, you know, overall, I think they're 3-3 out of the wild card spot. You know, like, I think they won a couple of games in, what was it, 06? They got to the AFC title game. They won in San Diego, and then they lost to the Colts that round. There was a year where they beat the Jaguars early on. That might have been the same year. So from wild card position, they haven't won much at all. And so it's a massive difference getting that bye week, and not for every team, but especially this team over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, and just the quality of the competition and the idea that it was at home.
Yep.
I mean, that was the thing, is that now it raises doubts, can you beat Tennessee at home? I mean, how much of a guarantee is that?
Do you really doubt that?
I mean, it just seems like the possibilities of that happening just seem really low to me, just because...
See, I agree.
You were just embarrassed at home against a real crappy team, and to come in 2 weeks in a row and lose at home, I find that to be a little bit doubtful.
To Fitzpatrick and Tannehill at home.
Yeah.
I know.
Right, so they're not going to do that, right? Like I think it could be a close game, and I think Vrabel will know how to attack them, but like I do have a hard time believing Tennessee on a short week, which I do think is advantageous to the home team always. And I know it's not like a Thursday turnaround, but a Saturday turnaround is still short. I have a hard time seeing them losing that game. Big picture, I'm nervous for them, but I have a hard time saying they lose on Saturday.
The only thing is this, and if we're going X's and O's here, like, who do you stop if you're the Titans? I mean, if you're going to just put eight in the box and stop Henry, Henry's gone off. Like, he's
the leading rusher in the NFL.
He's been absolutely, like, he's a beast. So what do? Put eight in the box in them and then try to go one-on-one with Gilmore and A.J. Brown? I mean, I mean
probably. But, yeah, I mean, that. Look, I would agree with Fred. I have a hard time saying they lose and get, you know, because losing to the Titans would be embarrassing. Getting embarrassed twice in a row at home, never mind what you just said, Tannehill and Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, that seems unlikely to happen. And then there couldn't be much of a tougher road ahead of them after that.
So I think they can beat the Chiefs. That's my own opinion. They got to get past Tennessee first. But again, the Chiefs will
You're
have.
You're nervous about Tennessee, but not Kansas City?
No. What I'm saying is I'm nervous just about Tennessee in general. Like, the Patriots have to get by Tennessee just to even move on here, but I don't know if they have the offensive power to beat the Titans just because of what they do on offense. See, like, the Patriots know the Chiefs. They've played them before. They've won there before. Like, they have that confidence level. facing a team, though, that you lost to a year ago.
Yeah, but they were good then.
Well, we were just talking about, well, they were good last year. We were just talking about bad regular season losses.
Yeah.
Last year against the Titans was a bad regular season loss. Like trying to throw to Tom Brady, that was a stupid play and it ended up hurting him in the long run, too. Like that was a bad loss. So, I mean, you have a chance to go back at this team, but they're a buzzsaw right now. Like who wants to play the Titans at this point? Nobody.
And the other thing is that say they get past the Titans, which I agree, I think that they will. I mean, you're going to be even more banged up going into Kansas City. And that just seems like with the injuries they have and not having that week off to recover, if indeed Tom Brady has a bunch of stuff that's bothering him, like you said, the short week, Edelman, obviously something's wrong with him. That's the short week. So that just seems that very prohibitive for what they're trying to do. But I agree. I don't think that they lose against Tennessee. They mean they were, if you look at their record, I mean, it wasn't like a disaster until the end of the season.
No, so. Well, they started 8-0 and they finished 4-4. So I think that's kind of the way to look at it. And in the 8-0 start, and I think a lot of us, it's not like, you know, only a couple of us saw the big picture. I think a lot of people looked at who they were playing, looked at who they were beating, and said, is this for real? Like the Patriots are always good, but we're measuring the Patriots against their standard and what they typically are year to year. And it was hard to know. I think a lot of us said that in the first 2 months of the year, it was hard to know. Then they started playing better quarterbacks and more quality competition. The defense looked more pedestrian. Brady and the offense looked worse and worse and worse. And they were 500 in the second half of the year. So that's what it is.
Just to add to it, if the Patriots don't get any scoring from special teams or on defense, they struggle.
They couldn't even get a turnover yesterday. Never mind score on defense. They couldn't even get a turnover against a guy who plays as loose as Fitzpatrick.
But that's what was happening earlier this
yes,
year.
Yes, no, totally.
Oh, yeah, they came up with a big play all the time. Like, yeah, Slater with the block punt. Yeah, they got their asses saved several times with big plays in defense and special teams. And who knows? Who knows if they're going to be – I mean, the thing that would concern me as a Patriot fan, if I was a Patriot fan, would be that – I mean, they're resorting to a lot of trick nonsense. I mean, they're
yeah, every week.
Every week they're trying something weird. And that just doesn't speak of a great deal of confidence in your offense.
Fred, yesterday, if you didn't know the record, wouldn't you think it was like 2 5-win teams playing each other yesterday based on the way they call plays? Like the little rocket screens to N'Keal Harry and throwing to the linebacker, and then the Dolphins are running all these like trick plays, emptying the bucket, like they do run their offense like they're the Dolphins, like they're some 5-win team because they need to scheme things up that badly on offense because they don't. For whatever reason, I think they should. I'm with you on this. They gave up a second-round pick for Sanu. He should be able to play. And instead, just about every route, which I'm screaming at the TV, every route he runs short of the sticks, seemingly. He had one big catch late that set up the James White touchdown. But every other route, it's like it's 3rd and 5, and he runs 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage and gets tackled 3 yards short.
And he's the worst punt returner in history.
I don't even get – he never returned punts. I don't get why they have him returning punts. That makes no sense.
He's not even fast.
No.
Like, yeah, why the hell is he returning punts?
He didn't return – I thought – I'm like, oh, maybe he was Atlanta's punt returner. No. Wrong. Incorrect. Didn't return punts there either. So, they should have more playmakers than they do, but the way the offense is and the way Brady's playing, they don't. So they scheme it up like they're the Dolphins. They're Chad O'Shea and Ryan Fitzpatrick over there.
And I hate to bring this up, but, like, you look at what they are now, right? How can they be better next year if Tom Brady happened to come back? Like, how can they be better?
Right.
Like, what do you want to come back to this?
They could try signing a tight end this year.
But, I mean, they need...
But it won't be Gronkowski.
No, it's true. It won't be Gronk. That is true. That's a good point.
I mean, they need, like, athletes. When I tell you athletes, they don't have anyone. There's not like even Gunnar Olszewski or whatever, when he was here, at least he was interesting, right? He might want to return a punt. What the hell is Sanu? That's why I think the Sanu signing has absolutely killed them this year. The guy fair catches everything. He's had one return, and I think it's for 4 yards. But the fact that he sucks so bad at it, the offense starts, the 15, 20-yard line. The guy doesn't even know where to catch the punt at times. Like, because of that one single move, so much has been invested in the Sanu that it's hurt the offense in so many ways this year. And he can't find the sticks. That's what – he's a big guy. He can't even block. What does he do well? He can't catch the ball on fourth down either.
We can talk about the future of the Patriots because with the draft cap and the way they've drafted is just atrocious. I mean, just awful, especially at skill positions. And we can get into that. What, they got a punter this year.
Yep.
Congratulations, you got a punter.
Y'all good find.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, we're going to talk to Jeff Howe from The Athletic. We will be back in just a moment.
The sports side.
Tusher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
In motion wide to left. Jonathan Jones tries to keep up with him. Gesicki to the right. It's Fitzpatrick takes the snap. He's looking to the middle. He throws to the back of the end zone. Caught by Gesicki.
What a try.
Touchdown Miami. 24 seconds to go. And the Dolphins have taken the lead.
Gesicki, the pass receiving tight end, with the big touchdown catch to take the lead late.
The Sports Hub, I'm in my underwear in East Tennessee.
Boxers or briefs, Fred?
Oh, boxers. What am I, an animal? I mean, you can't walk around in briefs.
No.
And everyone says that you need to wear them because, everything flops around. Oh, get out of here. Mr. John Holmes, please. You're fine in your boxers. All right, Jeff Howe writes for The Athletic. He about the Patriots. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Jeff Howe, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Oh, hello.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Howe? How are you doing?
Great. And you?
Oh, I'm in my underwear. And I'm the only one who didn't work out their vacation days correctly. And I'm working today. But I am on location, so that is fantastic. All right. What happened yesterday?
I mean, it was the – I went through them. I mean, it had to be the worst loss in the regular season of the Bill Belichick era. Everybody played awful. The coaching was suspect, especially at the end of the first half. The execution on offense was virtually non-existent. I mean, they almost pulled it out at the end offensively, I guess. But then – you know, the defense couldn't make that last stop. The defense has now gone two straight games without a takeaway. So it's just everything that got them to this point failed them yesterday.
Now, when you look at Brady, is something, the debate is he just 42 or is he hurt?
I think it's both. I mean, I know he wasn't on the injury report last week, but, I mean, he can't sit there and tell us over the course of the season that he's had three separate elbow injuries and, you know, now all of a sudden he's magically cured. That was, I mean, the throw to Eric Rowe yesterday, the pick six was, I mean, how many times does Brady throw an interception and you can't even figure out who the target was because it was either an overthrow of Sony Michel or an underthrow to Julian Edelman. And then a guy like Eric Rowe is the one who takes it back to the house. I mean, he was part of the problem yesterday. I mean, he was – nobody really yesterday was absolved from any blame. So it was – I mean, he's going to be better on Saturday night. Everybody's going to be better on Saturday night.
Now, does not having this week off, how does that affect Edelman, having the short week as well?
Yeah, that certainly doesn't help either. I mean, this was a calamity of issues here. The short turnaround, the fact that you should have had a bye, the fact that all you had to do was show up and you beat one of the worst teams in the NFL, which is compounded. It compounds the frustration because they were coming off their best win of the season, their best performance, a game against Buffalo in week 16, where you look at that and say, if you play like that a couple times in the AFC, you know, you get yourself to the Super Bowl again. And then they had a complete no-show, and now they have to come back on a short week when they could have had a chance to give guys like Brady and Edelman and some of the guys in the secondary a rest. I mean, that was the other thing, too. I mean, they had I've been able to at least watch the defensive side of this thing. They had 28 disruptions yesterday, and that was a season high. Yet the cornerbacks, you know, Stephon Gilmore had his worst game of the season by far. But the three starting cornerbacks, including J.C. Jackson and John Jones, gave up 17 catches, and that stuff just doesn't happen. And they did it while the front was getting a ton of pressure. So it's just the whole thing was baffling. I guess you could say that, you know, the guys up front in the front seven or the front six, they were doing their job to a large degree, but, you know, they sometimes when they were getting the pressure, the quarterback hits, Ryan Fitzpatrick was still somehow able to get the ball away consistently enough, I guess. And the cornerbacks weren't able to cover well enough to make the plays in the ball that they've been making all season long.
Does the approach with Edelman yesterday bother you in retrospect, where it felt like they were middling it? Like, they're on at one end of their mouth, they're saying it's a playoff game, it's important, we got to do everything we can to win it and empty the bucket. And on the other, it felt like they were managing Edelman and the looks he got and the snaps that he got. Does that bother you in retrospect?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of decisions. You look at Edelman and the way that they managed him. You know, it wasn't too dissimilar to what they've done with Danny Amendola down the stretch in the past, when, you know, they knew that he was a guy who could have used some rest. And of course, again, with Edelman yesterday, could have used some rest. And they started, you know, trying to do that, probably thinking that, you know, I guess to an extent, that's where you let the coaches off the hook. You say, well, you know, I thought the rest of you guys were going to come and play with some motion or some intensity and take care of business against the Dolphins, and you didn't do that. So there was probably some trust that, you know, some of these guys would do that. But, you know, on the other side of it, the coaches deserve the blame, because, you know, this team clearly wasn't ready to show up and play the Dolphins. I mean, this was there are few and far between examples of a Patriots team that shows up and is completely flat from start to virtually the end of the game. I mean, this was as bad as they were in the first half, and, you know, through even spurts of the second half, this was still like, you're sitting there and you're like, well, they're still going to win the game, and they're going to be ticked about it for, you know, 10 days, I guess, until they get to the home stretch of the divisional round, and whatever. But like, the fact that they weren't able to finish the job against it was kind of shocking. It was almost like the, you know, that Cardinals with no show, I guess, back in early 2014, except this was with a first round bye at stake. But, you know, you look at the way they managed Edelman. There was also, you know, I was thinking before the game, Marcus Cannon was able to go, but they dressed four tackles. I think for the first time this season, they dressed four tackles. Now, Cannon was able to go wire to wire, and I know he gave up a sack to a guy who was on the Patriots practice squad last year, but by and large, from what I could tell, at least at first glance, didn't seem like the problem. But, you know, you look at that. You look at, you know, just donating that final possession of the first half to charity because you wanted to send a message to your offense that they weren't performing at a high enough level. And then it comes back to bite you because, hey, you know what? The possession before that, you go 82 yards for a touchdown, and all of a sudden you want to just, you know, give away the final 145 of the first half. And then on the back end of it all, you're down by 3 points and, you know, you don't have a chance to complete a miracle at the end of the fourth quarter there. And you're just like, well, oh shoot, you know, if you only had an extra possession, oh, you did, but you gave it away at the end of the first half. So there were a lot of questionable decisions going into this game where it was like the team just assumed that they were going to beat the Dolphins, as they should, and they weren't able to reward themselves by actually doing it.
All right, now, what was the explanation? What was going on there at the end of the first half? Is it just that Belichick has no faith in his offense? What was he thinking at that point?
I mean, the only thing that, you know, if you're trying to get inside his head, the only thing I can think is that he was trying to send the offense a message that they hadn't played well enough to this point, and maybe this is what it's going to take to wake these guys up in the second half. And Brady basically alluded to it in his post-game press conference, too. I mean, he said that they weren't executing well enough to that point and all that stuff. But Belichick, after the game, said first he didn't use a timeout on defense because he wanted to see what their field position was going to be. And then they didn't use a timeout on offense because they weren't going to do it until they got a first down. Well, the first play offensively was a two-yard loss to Sony Michel. The second play was, after they wound the play clock all the way down, a handoff to James White for 7 yards, and then they just took it right to the half. So, I mean, I get it. Yeah, you were waiting to see if you were going to get a first down, but you didn't exactly give yourself a chance to get a first down. So there was some inconsistencies with the explanation, which, again, just taking Brady's word for it and what the gut instinct was at the time, they were just saying, all right, you know what, you didn't play well enough to this point. You don't deserve this possession. Maybe you'll wake up in the second half. The problem is it was 10-10. You just came off a touchdown drive of 82 yards. And then did they wake up enough in the second half? No, of course they didn't, because they came out and then went 3-0.
It doesn't seem like they were the game plan. You know, it was all lip service that this was a playoff game. I think that Jones alluded to that earlier. I mean, the way they handled Edelman, the way that they're sending a message at the end of the first half, that doesn't seem like a team that's all out to win this thing.
Yeah, I mean, all week, how many times did you hear these guys say that this is a playoff game? And if they treated this like a playoff game, you know, their season's only, what, 5 days old? Only got 5 days left in it, because, you know, they're not going to be able to play like that against the Titans and come away with a win. The only thing that you can really fall back on is, you know, the week before, 8 days earlier on the same field, was truly a playoff game, and they played their best game of the season. And if that's what it takes, I mean, again, like they screwed themselves, because even, you know, let's say they pull this thing out yesterday. Let's say they make that defensive stand at the end of the game or whatever. They just make one more play and they're able to win that. At least you're sitting here saying, all right, you know what? They had a complete no-show against the Dolphins, but, you know, who are the Dolphins? What does that matter? And then you fall back on what they did in week 16 against Buffalo, and you say, well, Kansas City's probably coming in here in 2 weeks. And if it weren't for the officiating gaffes in the Chiefs game a month ago, you know, now you can have a chance to kind of right some of those wrongs. And then, hey, who knows what happens in Baltimore? Just like you going into last year's AFC title game, who knows what can happen in Kansas City? Instead of all that, you're saying, well, you just blew this game after your best performance of the season. Now you have to beat the Titans on Saturday night. If you're able to do that, then you have to go beat Kansas City in Kansas City. If you're able to do that, now you have to go beat that juggernaut down in Baltimore. And then you get to the Super Bowl. Like, it's just the level of difficulty that they just created for themselves by simply not beating Miami at home at a place where they just won 21 consecutive games is, I mean, it's, again, that's why I started off by saying this was the worst regular season loss of the Belichick era, because the path could have been a whole lot simpler. And instead, now they have to run like an 06 style gamut in the playoffs just to reach the Super Bowl.
Now, what do you think about Tennessee coming in? What kind of chance do you give them?
Well, if they look like they did if the Patriots look like they did in week 16, they'll beat them. If they look like they did yesterday, they'll lose by 40. So it's like, who are we going to see? There were some signs, like, you know, the running game has gotten better. They've shown that they can probably be a power running team in the playoffs. The defense, by and large, for 90% of this season, has been the best defense in the league. If that defense shows up and they start creating turnovers again, and, you know, special teams is dominant, you know, special teams was fine yesterday, but if all those things happen, then this is a Titans team that they should win or they should beat handily. If it's the team that we saw yesterday, they have no chance. So, I mean, I would tend to believe that yesterday was a no-show because they thought they could just show up and beat the Dolphins. If assuming they treat this week like they did week 16 in Buffalo and all that other stuff, you know, they'll probably beat Tennessee. It's just, you know, now that they just made their path that much significantly harder.
All right, Jeff Howell from The Athletic, we appreciate the time as always, sir.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we will be right back. Oh, space music. 98.5 The Sports Hub, 617-779-0985. The Patriots, some people saying the worst loss, certainly regular season of the Belichick era. Manny, hello, sir.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, yesterday was awful, man. I don't know about you guys, but this is probably the worst Brady offense that I've ever seen in my lifetime. The offense is slow. Teams have noticed now that if you double Edelman, you put a safety on White, the offense shuts down. The defense, too, is playing awful. If you notice, the past 2 weeks, every receiver has had at least a – most receivers have had a buck on them. Look at Parker. Parker had 8 receptions for 137 yards yesterday. The week before that, Cole Beasley had 7 receptions for 108 yards. You're not going to beat good teams giving up that many yards. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Yeah. I mean, the offense looks terrible.
Well, the offense, I think, is self-evident, right? And I think what a lot of fans had talked themselves into is, you know, can they win by scoring 17, 20, 21, something like that in a playoff game if the defense is going to carry this team? You know, Fred, it's the greatest defense of all time, right? It's the boogeyman.
Yeah, the boogeyman.
So if you have such a great defense, you don't need to score anymore 28, 35 points a week. That's not going to be the Patriots. So you don't need to do that anymore. So can you win on defense? And what would be confidence shaking to me as a Patriots fan is that the defense, as the caller pointed out, has been shaky the last couple of weeks. They gave up a big drive to Josh Allen 2 weeks ago. I know, you know, Jeff Howe kept referring to that as their greatest win of the year. They almost lost. You know, Josh Allen's driving down the field at the end of the game. He didn't make the play, but they drove down the field at the end of the game. Ryan Fitzpatrick drove down the field at the end of the game. And what would concern me is the Gilmore stuff, because you can explain away Gilmore as a one-off, except this opponent last year, the Titans shredded Gilmore as well. And that's kind of been their special sauce all year. That's been the ace in the hole. You always have Gilmore shutting down the other team's best option. Well, not yesterday and not last year against Tennessee. Those have really been two of the weak performances he's had. So that would concern me. And if it's not Corey Davis again this year, as Joe referenced earlier, maybe it's A.J. Brown, who's been awesome as a rookie, much better than N'Keal Harry, and he went after him.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that you're still playing Josh Allen. I mean, in that Buffalo game, Josh Allen is going to blow it. I mean, he's a terrible quarterback.
But didn't you think that with Fitzpatrick?
I mean, Fitzpatrick is a terrible quarterback. But I'm talking about how people are saying the win against Buffalo was this, you know, huge, dramatic win.
Oh, I see. You knew at some point he was going to shoot himself in the foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Yeah.
And they had an opportunity to win that game. I mean, he can't do it. I mean, I don't know. These things are being trumped up as great wins. I'm not sure. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey, what's up?
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That was an ugly game.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, man, it was ugly. Yeah,
I liked it. I thought it was a good time. I was into it. I thought it was a nice performance yesterday. I would push back on what he had to say.
I napped a lot during the game. I thought it absolutely sucked. And I don't know. I'm just looking ahead here to the Titans. I fear Derrick Henry running down their throat and then doing play action and A.J. Brown over the top. I think one of the biggest issues for the Patriots this year, I think McCourty's had a nice year. But Chung's been beat up all year long, and I think Harmon's taking a step back. Like, their secondary is old. Old. And if someone gets behind them, like, that's happened in back-to-back weeks now, I think that's an issue for them, and they have a couple of guys who can do it.
Okay, now what is this look for the future? Is there any hope for this team going to the future, or is this a downward trend?
Well, I think you have to look at the AFCs first, right? I mean, the Buffalo's on the rise. Miami's going to get a top five pick. We don't know if
they have a bunch of picks.
They can improve. The Jets should be better, right?
Yeah.
I've said this before, but I don't think the Patriots can tank in the AFC East. I don't think it's something they could possibly do. If you really want to look ahead, like, Trevor Lawrence is out there if you want a future quarterback. The Patriots would have to be really, really bad.
Yeah, they're not tanking, though.
So it's not going to happen.
No, they might. They might fall back a little bit. And even, you know, like when you're talking about big picture, I don't think the Patriots are going to fall off a cliff and be like a 5-win team next year.
Like Denver, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go from, you know, whatever they've been, 11, 12 games a year, to now all of a sudden a 4 or 5 win team and you're at the top of the draft. I wouldn't expect that whether Brady's back next year. I wouldn't expect that no matter what.
Yeah, tanking for Trevor Lawrence would be like just not showing up.
Right.
I mean, and they would like literally just have to like sit down on the field.
The only way you do that is like they're not tanking with Bill here. Bill will not allow that on his watch for his legacy. Bill is too prideful to do that. He'll never allow that, especially when he's chasing the wins record. Now, would that be a good big picture decision for the organization to take a one off and go tank for Trevor Lawrence? Maybe, but they're never going to do it.
I don't think they could. Like, I just don't think it's possible that they could.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, there's still talent on this team. I mean, you think of the bad teams out there. I don't think it's, like, literally possible for them to do that.
Yeah, and again, they wouldn't, right? So I think next year, you know, they could win the division. They could be a playoff team next year. I'm not saying that's a lock by any means, but they could be. But, like, big picture, you do have to wonder if Ryan Fitzpatrick, of all people, ended the dynasty yesterday. And I know they'd still have to lose a playoff game on top of it, but, like, that felt a bit like a game. And I know many people have buried the dynasty before, myself included, like, 10 different times. But you do have to wonder if a game like that and a quarterback like that are really where it ended. And I'm not saying we know that yet, but we may look back and say, wow, that Ryan Fitzpatrick game, that's where it all came to a crashing halt.
And Fred, to your point, if you look forward, I think you have to start with the quarterback. Like, is this the quarterback you want to go forward with?
Right.
No.
There's talent here. There's talent here. Could they use Stidham for a year and still win? Could they go out and
wait, so answer your own question. Is this the quarterback you want to go forward with? No. Not me.
And not for all the money he's going to want.
I think for the BS that they put up with this year, I don't think so. I think they put up with a lot of... I think the stuff that Brady, like, was open about this year, I don't think they need that. And I think Belichick was literally, like...
Why would you want to hitch your wagons to now a 43-year-old quarterback who's been going in the wrong direction for a couple of years?
But I think it's more about... It's going to come off more as Brady not wanting to come back more than, like, the team not wanting him back. I think that's been the play all year long.
Okay, so if what team would want him? Like, what team... Because would he sign a one-year deal?
Nah, one or two. I mean, I don't think he can possibly get more than two, right?
No,
I mean,
he can't. But if you're like Chicago...
Yep.
First of all, I don't know if Chicago can afford him, but they can probably move money around. Is it worth it to Chicago to take a run at him? Because he could be very... If he doesn't want to come back to the Patriots, he could be very disappointed on what's out there.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the league that people can't give up on. You know, I don't know. What are the possibilities where he could go? I guess he could go to L.A. because they need to fill that stadium.
Yep.
I guess he could go to the Bears, but who knows if he'd want to go there.
Miami.
Yeah, I think Miami's good, and I'll just bring up Dallas once again. Josh McDaniels is one of the favorites to be a head coach elsewhere, and I think for 2 years they would do it for a glory hole. I think they would do it. No, and I'm serious. You guys think I'm joking. I think Dallas, if for 2 years, and I don't know, I go back to this Romo when they were asking Romo, what do you think about Brady? And he just like wouldn't answer anything. And it's like,
was about whether or not he'll be back.
But I'm sure they're like,
it wasn't will he go to Dallas.
Yeah, but I'm just not taking Dallas off the table.
Okay. See, I take Dallas
off
the table.
I have them off the table too, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, I look at this and how many teams are going to give up. And if I'm Miami, why do I want him? If I'm Miami, why do I want to give money to Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, I think
develop a kid.
I think the logic is, you know, you can either wait to find a kid and you can draft, you know, well, I don't know where Miami officially ended.
Yeah, fifth, but you could draft Tua, let's say.
Yeah.
Sit out a year or two.
Sure, that's a good point, too, with one of their other first-round picks. You can develop a guy behind Brady and in the meantime fill out the rest of the roster and compete now. Like, I think that's the logic. And we watch Brady every day, and I know a lot of these scouts and executives should, but I think a lot of them are going to look at it and say, 4,000 yards, if we surround him with the right guys and the right talent, we can get more out of him. I think a lot of coaches would look at it and say that. I think a lot of football operations staffs would say that.
And that's why I say Dallas. They already have everything in place.
Yeah, but they have a better quarterback. They already have a better quarterback. They just got to pay him. Dak's better.
Yeah, but they didn't win with him. And I think they could win with
Brady. This team's not going to win with Brady.
That's the thing. Would you rather have Dak or would you rather have Brady?
I'd rather have Tom Brady.
Definitely Dak.
No, the reason why I say that is who gets you in the playoffs and who doesn't? Who continuously, and you can blame the coach all you want. I don't want to do a Dak versus Brady thing, but come on now. Brady at 43, I know that Dak puts up better numbers, but Brady will get you to the playoffs. This guy won't. He won't.
I think if Dak were here, you'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think
if Brady were there, I still don't. The Cowboys are not in the playoffs.
If Dak
still was
on the New England Patriots this year,
yep.
I think they'd be more dynamic offensively.
Yeah, of course they would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, Joe.
Let's do a trade. Let's do it. Let's get it done.
Joe, go ahead.
Trevor Lawrence, that's your take, Jones. You should be eating this guy alive. Joe, All right, Stroh, the sportsman, you know, you sit back, you laugh, you chuckle all the time. You got the worst takes. Brady to Dallas, what are you talking about? You got the worst takes ever, man.
All right, man. Yeah, worst take ever. The Dallas Cowboys, who literally could pay a guy $40 million who doesn't deserve it. Okay.
No, Trevor Lawrence. That's the horrible take of the day, my friend. Trevor Lawrence.
Did you hear what I said, douche? What I said was, well, they're going to tank for Trevor Lawrence.
Sportsman. You don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right.
You chuckle over there with your buddies.
Yeah. I'll go.
Terrible take. Jones, eat this guy for breakfast.
I don't hate the Trevor Lawrence take. I just don't think they're going
to
do it.
They can't do it. They're too good to do it.
If you're asking me, would I tank for Trevor Lawrence? Hell yeah. But they're not going to.
You know what, though? I hate
Joe doesn't think that they're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I just want to say this. That guy calls Rich the sportsman, too. Like, this guy is called in.
Yeah,
like,
I want to be the sportsman.
real quick, though, the Trevor Lawrence thing, right now, I think Trevor Lawrence is better than what Joe Burrow will ever be this year going into the draft. So, like, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the next big thing.
Okay, sportsman. Cool it over there, sportsman.
If you want to call me gambling guy or weed guy or whatever else, that's fine. But, like, sportsman, like, how's that a bad take? And the whole thing with the Cowboys is Josh McDaniels is linked to the Cowboys to be their next head coach.
Yeah, but he's linked to the Browns, too. Are the Browns on the table?
Well, no, but weren't the Patriots interested in Baker Mayfield? Why wouldn't they look at him? These aren't terrible takes. These are literally stories that have been out for years. The Patriots were interested in Baker Mayfield. They were. And I bet you if they could somehow acquire him, they would try to if they didn't have Tom Brady.
Ew. Ew.
What do you mean?
How is that a bad take?
That'd be great for you, Fred, if Baker were here.
They said this stuff, though.
Yeah, then it would be, yes, it actually would be.
Yeah, that'd be great. You should be on board with this.
It would make the boogeyman look like nothing. Yeah. All right.
Sportsman.
The best thing about Joe is he gets legitimately pissed.
You know why I get pissed is because make fun of me for anything else.
Yeah, don't you dare
anything
call me sportsman.
But if I actually,
how dare you?
But Fred, if I actually give a sports take, do you know how many people don't actually give a take? They just walk the line or ride the rope. I like put my balls out there, but all your takes sucks. Sorry. I know the Patriots lost yesterday, but like, have a take. Someone, if you're going to call in, bleeping take.
His take is you're the sportsman.
Don't call in and say, yeah, yesterday's game was really tough. Like, we got that a little while ago. If you're going to call in, have a take. If you want to bust Jones' balls about being negative, well, at least try to be positive or try to beat him at what he's saying.
Impossible.
Nobody ever does it.
Impossible.
Jones hasn't been overly negative today.
No.
No, he hasn't. I mean, the noodle arm or whatever, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible loss. And it's a debate if they can eat. The fact that it's a debate that they could lose at home to Tennessee is frightening. I mean, the fact that people... What was the line again, Joe?
Sportsman.
No. The line yesterday? The Pats are favored by 5.5.
It's 4 now.
Oh, sorry.
But it was 5.5.
They're a 4-point favorite at home against Tennessee in the playoffs? That's insane. I mean, that doesn't say good things. I mean, people don't believe in this team. Their schedule was incredibly soft. And if people taking out the game against the Bills, the idea that people are coming out of that going like, whoopee, you know, we beat the Bills.
They beat the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen is the Bills quarterback. I can't stress that enough.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. So I don't know if you ever heard that. So that made it a big win. Yeah,
I will say this, though. Do you know how many people, when the line came out yesterday, give me the Titans, give me the Titans, give me the Titans.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yep.
Give me the Titans. It's like one game, and all of a sudden, people's perception of stuff. And you guys come in this morning saying, I think they can beat the Titans. I think we've all said that today.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous, don't get me wrong.
I'd be shocked if the Patriots lost to Tennessee.
Same with me.
I'd
be shocked, if they lost at home in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're not going to lose to the Titans, I don't think. But their big picture playoff fortunes or the likelihood they're going to win the Super Bowl, like, I'd be very nervous about that. I'm not nervous about Saturday.
Oh, I don't think they make the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, I don't think you can go into Kansas City and then if you have to, go into Baltimore and win.
Right.
I mean, that's asking too much. And, I mean, you got players that are banged up that aren't going to get a chance to get healthy. This is not an ideal situation. And it, like you said, the running game of Tennessee, and that's punishing. So that's like a boxer taking a bunch of body blows.
and then having to go out the next week and fight again. All right, we will be back. I wanted to have him on. It's Michael Hurley.
All right.
I have not seen, but it's not like a Spygate thing or anything like that, because then he just gets into his papers and things. This is an actual bad loss. So I want to hear Hurley's take on it, because there's got to be a deep state reason for it happening. And he has to have some idea of why this happened. So we'll talk to him in just a couple minutes.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.